Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 102 degrees.
Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined this evening, May 18th, 2009, by Larry Jarbo. He is the organizer of a conference that's going to be held May 30th and 31st in Maryland. This is the second annual conference. The first one was held last year. It's an alternate energy conference of the extreme breakthrough energy sort, and we'll be talking both about this upcoming conference as well as the past conference from last year. Larry, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sterling. How are you?
Doing good. Now, you and I met a couple of years ago when I attended the conference in D.C. that was organized by Tom Vallone. And we were going up some steps together into the Who Killed the Electric Car movie viewing. That was quite interesting.
Well, it was kind of funny because we were walking up the stairs and we were talking about different things. And you mentioned that you were Sterling Allen. I said, oh, my goodness, I know you from the Internet on the different groups and things. And you know, I said, you're the man. So it's really it's kind of funny how some things go beyond coincidence.
Yeah, it was fun. Now, you have organized a great conference, and I'm excited to talk to you tonight about both what you have planned for this next conference coming up here at the end of the month, as well as how the last conference went. You've obviously been scanning the horizon to figure out what you're going to have there and what you wish would be there, and what may someday be there, as well as what happened last time around. So I'm not quite sure how we want to proceed on this, but let's go ahead and talk about what's planned for this coming May.
Well, that's fine. It's an energy show and tell. And the concept is, and we started this concept last year, a friend of mine and myself were discussing how can we get this information out there to the general public. What's going on, you know, you're familiar with a lot of different inventors and guys who are working and outsourcing things and showing, you know, what's available. And yet the general public really doesn't know because the media doesn't pick up on a lot of this. So we said, what can we do to get this information out there? The fuel prices were going up really crazy. And so what we did was we decided to hold an energy show and tell. And instead of getting a conference center, we basically went right to, I have a 30-acre mill operation, and we opened up the dry kilns as our big conference buildings, and we advertised on the Internet a little bit. And so we had people come from all over the country. I had set up a campground at the mill in the back, and it worked out real well. So this year, with the attendance being up around 1,500, 2,000 people, just pretty much from advertising on the Internet and one radio show that we had locally, we started networking a little further. And this year we've got, I think, folks coming from, you know, Canada and all over the country, down in Florida, and sometimes they fly in from other places like Europe and stuff like that. So we will have all kinds of technologies show up that we don't even know right now. It's always a surprise because the deal is we don't charge anything to show up. You know, there's no conference fee. And just come in. If you've got it under the hood of your car, lift your hood up and sit in the parking lot. If you've got some circuitry or electronical technology, we've got a nice conference center we were able to get this year. at the Southern Maryland Isaac Walton League Outdoor Education Center. And that's 140 acres. It's a wonderful location. And we'll start off the morning with, you know, traditional. We'll do not only the displays, but also conferences where people will talk about what they've done. And we'll start off with the traditional wind and solar, you know, the free energy technologies that we can get right off the shelf today. And we'll work our way into doing things like building your own electric car. You know, there's a lot of people building very fine electric vehicles and do it themselves, basically with off-the-shelf parts that they put together and convert their own car to electric. And then Jean Manning is coming. I think you know Jean, don't you, Sterling?
Yeah, very well.
Yeah, well, she's going to be there, and she's bringing her book, Breakthrough Power, and she'll talk about that and her experiences with the different inventors and their inventions with the new energy technologies, you know, the ones that, you know, we're not seeing on the shelf today, but I expect in the next few years will become fairly commonplace. And after she presents, then we've got some of the guys with the hydroxy, the hydrogen on demand movement. And there's a young man, he's going to be showing what he's done in his college work, like I'm calling it next generation hydrogen generation. And he's running a scooter on hydrogen gas, and he's also going to show his cell that he makes the gas with. And we'll have some of the famous guys out there that you see on YouTube and on the Internet, Zero Fossil Fuel, Smart Scarecrow, Spodioti, The Smack, James Allen Roby, and Bob Boyce has been invited, but he's kind of a free spirit, so... we don't know if Bob's going to be there or not, but the rest of the guys will be there, and they'll be able to kind of add to a panel discussion about where we're at today with the hydroxy or hydrogen on demand production. And then from there, we've got demonstrations of zero-point taps, and that should open up a lot of minds. And we're not actually doing the list of attendees until the day of the event on the zero-point taps, just as a matter of protecting the people so that they don't get they don't have problems before they come, so to speak. So it's going to be an interesting event. That's Saturday. And then Sunday, we will have a situation where, all day will be displays, but most of the day will be dedicated to like hydrogen certification. People be bringing in their boosters, and there'll be guys there who'll actually certify the booster for the actual output that it's putting out, the actual Faraday efficiencies. You know, a lot of what we're witnessing in this realm, and we were just talking about it a little earlier before we got on the show, is, you know, there's hydrogen and there's hype, and there's people who are really dedicated to doing good work, and then there's people who are kind of scam it. And so we have to separate the hydrogen from the hype or the scam artists from the people who are doing really solid good work. So that's what this is all about, is it's not vaporware. It's actually where people can come and witness it, discuss it, talk with the inventors, and actually see that it is working without being scammed. That's the main thing. So it should be a great 2 days. It's May 30th and 31st. And we're looking forward to a lot of people coming out and just a lot of great discussion, to say the least.
But you don't have an official website. We are going to be putting up a feature page on our site about this event. I meant to have it done by this interview time, but don't have it yet. But if you just go to peswiki.com, that's P-E-S-W-I-K-I.com, or freeenergynews.com, and just enter Jarbo, Larry Jarbo, J-A-R-B-O-E, you'll find our page about it. And there's a number of other pages on the Internet who are looking at or posting information about this both last year and the upcoming year. So Jarbo's Mill, M-I-L-L, will pull it up on Google. But maybe you can give out your phone number or some kind of contact information where people can get more information about this.
I'll be happy to. I'll give out not only my phone number, but my email address, and also where you can get the information, you know, one of the easier sites. I've been blessed to I'm past that digital divide or something like that, where I'm not as good on the computer with making websites. You know, I'm good at Googling, but that's about it. So what I do is I have folks who are kind enough to network out and spread it out that way, and that's been just wonderful. So probably the best website to see what we're up to is altenergy2012.com. So that's altenergy2012.com. It'll give you a good feel for what we're doing and the schedule and everything of the event. And then and the links to go to. And then my email address is bass21292@yahoo.com. So that's bass or base, or let's say bass because that's easier to remember. bass21292@yahoo.com. And my cell phone is 240-577-1240. That's a lot of numbers and letters to memorize. Go figure that. Hopefully people can put it all down.
I will have that contact information on our coverage as well.
We'll that would be great.
Under the in the left-hand side over at pezwiki.com under events, so people can look for it there.
Great. Yeah, yes. Okay.
I heard a lot of great things about last year and the event you had there. So when we come back from break here in a minute or so, starting into break, we can talk about what took place at last year's event, as well as I'd be curious to know some of the things, you know, you obviously have been keeping your ear close to the ground on the various technologies, and just be fun to chat with you about what you think is exciting about what's going on in the field and what captures your interest the most. Maybe we can talk about that in a segment following the bottom of the hour. But the next segment, let's focus on kind of what took place last year, you know, some of the highlights and some of the ramifications, what spun out as a result of the conference, people that met each other and what happens as a result of networking that took place. Because that's, in my opinion, that's one of the things that's most exciting about these conferences is the people you get to meet, the ideas you get to share. Besides just you know, the events and the presentations themselves, which are excellent.
I agree 100% that it's when you meet the people and you share the ideas, all of a sudden you see that some of the answers you're looking for and you're searching for, somebody else already has, and you can incorporate that into what you're doing, and then of course they incorporate what you're bringing forward. What do they say? Two heads are better than one. What if you put 1,000 heads together? That's what it's all about.
Indeed. You also get to knock off some of the rough edges of those diamonds in the rough.
Oh, absolutely. We're a lot of diamonds in the rough in this in what we're doing. But you know, it's kind of like the photovoltaic panel, for example. You know, it took a long time to get that to where it's at today, and still it's only about 20% efficient. And it would be difficult, you know, for anyone to make a photovoltaic panel from scratch. But heck, right now we're building some amazing machines. You know, these hydrogen cells, they keep getting better and better as people experiment more and discover different ways to prep the plates and nano coatings and different materials and different Faraday efficiencies and beyond Faraday efficiencies. So, yeah, we'll talk about all that. I guess there's an advertisement coming up.
Yeah, we're going to be going to break here, and when we come back from break, we'll talk about what happened last year.
Sure.
Take part in the national conversation. Tune in to The Lou Dobbs Show. weekdays at 5 p.m. only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq
or Afghanistan.
I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Does your mortgage have you stressed out? Is your house worth less than what you owe? There is help available for you. We are Federal Loan Restructuring, an experienced, attorney-backed loan modification company here to support homeowners just like you. We have had success modifying the terms on almost every type of loan. We have no upfront charges, your money is held in escrow, and we have a money-back guarantee. Call us at 877-FED-MOD-8 or visit us at federalloanrestructuring.com. Don't give up. Call us today at 877-FED-MOD-8.
Do you need a new prescription for your life? Are you just not feeling well? I'm Dr. Asa Andrew, America's health and lifestyle coach. Thank you for letting me walk with you on your journey toward extraordinary health. Join me to
free energy now.
Drilling Allen coming back at you. We've been talking tonight to Larry Jarbo of Jarbo's Mill. An alternative energy conference is coming up May 30th and 31st in Maryland. We're going to talk about what happened last year. This is actually the second annual conference. So, Larry, tell us about last year's conference.
Yes, Sterling, I'll kind of lead up to it, because what we did was prior to the conference, and we had the conference in June, but prior to that, in April, right around the Earth Day weekend, just before the Earth Day weekend, we had a booster rally, and we put together, we were hoping to have, you know, a dozen cars or so running hydrogen boosters, and we made a run down to the Keys from Southern Maryland down to the Keys. It's a little over a 1,000-mile run, and that was kind of to promote not only the hydrogen booster technology, but also kind of prime things on the internet for the first conference, the first Jarbo's Mill conference. And so we had myself. I had the Hinden truck. It was a little Volkswagen Rabbit with a big voice booster on the back in the trunk, or in the bed of the truck. And then the Smack. That's the guy who made the Smacks booster. He drove his vehicle all the way. It was a Cutlass. Drove it all the way down from Vermont, and so we tagged base on the way in Virginia at 95, and then as we came down the road, Bob Boyce joined up in his Prius. So we had three vehicles in it, and we took a trip down to the Keys and got mileage readings. And ironically, my little Rabbit did not get exceptional fuel mileage as a result of that booster. Now, the Smacks car did get like 15 to 20% improvement, and Bob's Prius, I think he got like 64 miles to the gallon. He did real well with a Prius on the highway, so to speak. So I've later discovered that 1.6 liter naturally aspirated Volkswagen diesels, because I tried it on a Jetta too, they just don't boost very well. Some cars boost well, some don't. So we went down and had a nice booster rally. We learned some things. That's the main thing. And then when we held the event, of course, I kind of have to give you an idea of the mill operation. It is actually a sawmill. We have three dry kilns, and we cleaned it all up, landscaped it, and opened it up, let people know that to bring their stuff in and show it and tell about it and open source it and let people know what you're doing. And we had no idea of who was going to show up other than three or four people were going to be there, you know, that were going to demonstrate. But it was just open to the public to please come. And the first, like on Thursday, the Smack showed up with the, and he had a big Cadillac that he brought in with one of the local guys here, Steve Hewitt, had his Cadillac decked out with a big six-pack, a Monster booster pack. And they worked on that during the day on Thursday. And then Friday morning, you know, I'm looking around. We got three empty dry kills, and I'm thinking nobody's going to show. And as daybreak comes up, one guy shows up in this beat-up old, like a moving van, you know, or a panel truck, and hops out. His name is Spodiotti. And this guy starts pulling stuff out of the back of his truck like you wouldn't believe. I mean, a motor that was set up to run on hydrogen. He had a big inverter. He had his own self-sustained power supply to make the hydrogen. I mean, it was like, this is amazing.
Well, and all of a sudden, he's going to be there this year, too, right?
Pardon?
Spodiotti is going to be there this year, too.
Spodiotti will be there this year, and I hear that he's got some really good stuff. I mean, it's like he's gone to another level of hydrogen production. It's like jaw-dropping stuff. So, you know, I'm one of those guys. It's all vaporware until I see it. So I'm waiting to see it. That's the main thing. So he's supposed to be there, but he showed up, and the next thing you know, people start coming in from everywhere. And one guy brought a Bedini wheel in and a rotoverter. The Bedini wheel worked. The rotoverter wasn't finished yet. I've yet to see a working rotoverter. I'm hoping at this one somebody will show up with a working rotoverter. I brought my Geet riding lawnmower. I converted a riding lawnmower to a Geet system, and I brought in a bunch of different electric vehicles that I had built over the years. And all of a sudden, everything started filling up. And by 9 o'clock, we had like 40 or 50 people demonstrating really neat stuff. We had zero fossil fuel. He's always late, but he showed up about lunchtime. And other guys, you know, the Turtle Brothers, I mean, guys out of the blue from all over the country showed up and started showing stuff. And we had an area that we'd mulched in, sort of an open area, and we had some tents out there, and people were showing things under that, and it became, I mean, a real, like, if you've ever been to a Renaissance fair, it was like that, but it was a new era fair, so to speak. I mean, all these people who've been working on things, and now they get to show what they've done to the public, and it was almost like an adult science project fair, you know, science fair. So it worked out so good, and the people who came, we're just so happy to see that somebody out here is trying to do something. You know, we were going through the fuel prices. We're going crazy, and it was frustrating for people. I mean, a lot of people came in from all over the country. We had folks from as far away as North Carolina brought their camper rig. One guy flew in from Trinidad. Other people came in from Canada and Florida and really Tennessee, Kentucky, from all over. And we had great speakers, you know, who did the conference speaking, so that you could see they would actually demonstrate what they've been doing and help share their information. And
was that a little more organized in terms of pre-planning, or was that pretty spontaneous too?
Well, that the conference part was pretty well organized. I focus on when I get the folks who are speaking at the conference, they're scheduled. That pretty much is completely organized. The displays, on the other hand, are people just show up and start showing their stuff. And the idea behind that is it is nice to have spontaneous stuff happening. It's like being in a music group, and you have to have your fixed, you know, organized stuff that you know you're going to do, but isn't it nice to go off in a little jam session and just go off on a tangent a little bit and cut loose? Mm-hmm. So the displays are not as well organized. We just invite people who are doing different stuff. You know, as people are listening to your show right now, I bet you've got a ton of people out there who have built some pretty neat devices, whether it's efficient boosters that they're running cars on, or you know, you might have a few guys got a magnetic motor or two tucked away. You know, bring it. Let's see what's out there. Let's see what people are doing. The Geats always impress people. You know, that when you got a motor running basically on almost anything. I mean, you know, you can just, as long as it's got a volatile fuel in it, it's going to run. And that's impressive when people see that, that it's basically, in my opinion, a vapor carburetor. But even so, it's a cracking vapor carburetor is what it is. And it's, when people see it running and see how clean it burns and how efficient it is, they go, that's impressive. You know, it makes people realize that there's other ways we can do things. So, anyway.
Well, I kind of like, does the term, on our website we have this saying, he who is one step ahead is a genius, he who is two steps ahead is a crackpot. Do you kind of have an endeared feeling toward that crackpot kind of sentiment?
Now, who was that?
No, we just, you know, have a statement. He who is one step ahead is a genius. He who is two steps ahead is a crackpot. And we kind of use the term crackpot as an endearing term among the people that I hang around. Would you feel that's kind of true of the people that are showing up there?
Well, if you use it as an endearing term, yeah, I would say they're mostly thinkers of the future. You know, people who like building things and want to share the information with other people.
So we're to the bottom of the hour. When we come back, let's talk about some of the really cool stuff you've run across in the process of doing this conference and thinking about what's coming next.
And radio, I'm Greg Black. President Obama tomorrow will order that new cars get 39 miles a gallon by the year 2016. Charles Torito of the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers says that's preferable to individual states trying to set their own mileage requirements.
We believe that the best way to address it energy security and reduce greenhouse gas emissions is through a strong, aggressive national program, not a state-by-state patchwork.
President Obama reassuring Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that his administration will continue strong U.S. support for Israel. But Obama made it clear he does not support those controversial Israeli settlements in the West Bank. Health officials in New York moving quickly, trying to head off any further spread of swine flu. They're ordering four more schools to close for the remainder of the week. Police in Los Angeles say the rapper who calls himself Dalla has been shot to death in front of the Beverly Center Mall. A person of interest is being questioned. This is CNN Radio.
Scattered buildups around the valley with our daytime heating, producing some gusty winds and blowing dust in desert areas. Then tomorrow we'll have more clouds with some scattered outlying thunderstorms in the area, but we will be cooler. By Wednesday and Thursday, we're down to 94. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 98 degrees.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Let the IRS veterans at the Tax Resolution Group help stop levies and wage garnishment. We can help get your liens lifted and your life back in order. Our clients never have to meet or even talk with the IRS. Our ex-IRS agents have over 100 years combined experience in IRS collection tactics. They use that insider knowledge to go to work for you. The IRS will place levies or liens on more than 3 million taxpayers this year. Will you be one of them? Don't be afraid. Call for a free no-obligation consultation. Get peace of mind by putting an end to your federal or state tax problems. Call now, 800-297-0379. That's 800-297-0379. Get a free consultation and put our team of experts between you and the IRS. Call 800-297-0379. That's 800-297-0379. 800-297-0379.
Somebody's got to say it.
You have to convince them this wonderful life they think is waiting for them is not going to happen.
That's why Neil Bortz is on the radio.
This administration wants to lower everybody to some sort of a median lifestyle. And no matter how much ambition or drive they have, it will be useless to them because they will not be permitted to benefit from it.
The Neil Bortz Show, weekdays at 10 a.m. on KFNX.
We
free energy now.
We really want to change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations there for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now.
That's the toll-free calling number if you happen to be listening live, 1-866-536-1100. You're listening to the Free Energy Now radio show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. We're interviewing Larry Jarbo tonight of Jarbo's Mill, an alternative energy conference coming up May 30th and 31st in Maryland. Now, this is a national, international, anyone can come. It's a show-and-tell conference. We've been talking in the first segment about this next conference and then the last segment about what took place last year. In this next segment, I would like to talk about what technologies turn you on that you see on the horizon, percolating, coming up next, whether or not they're going to be showing up at your conference. What has you the most excited right now?
Well, I got to tell you right now, I see the hydrogen stuff that we're seeing all over the place. I mean, that's a huge movement that's taking place in the country. People are starting to get back to working on their cars again, getting under the hood, mounting the hydrogen boosters. That really, in the past year, has come a light year as far as the understanding of the technology, as far as building the units efficiently where they make Faraday efficient gas output, and you know they actually work well within the car, and the people start to understand their computers and the interface with the computer in the car. So that in itself is like the hot rod movement of the 50s, and it's getting people, you know, excited about making a difference in their own lives. So I think that's a great transition technology. But where I believe the future is basically we're going to go electric in the future. The cars will be electric. It just makes sense. I built my own electric car back in, was it 10 years ago. And it was an MR2 that I converted using a FB4001 forklift motor and put some batteries into it. And I actually put a little genset in the front. It was a plug-in hybrid. So back in 1999, I had a plug-in hybrid. And today, you can't even buy a plug-in hybrid, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I drove that thing around for a year and on a combination of batteries. And every once in a while, I'd fire up the genset if I had to extend my range, but very rarely, because mostly the battery pack worked to get me around locally. And you know, I did my numbers, I used 3 gallons of fuel in like 5,000 miles. And that works like, what is it, almost 1,700 miles per gallon. So that's but you have to remember, I was only driving local trips and always plugging in, you know, after I was finished making the drive. So it was mostly using electrons and not gas. And then we converted that car to a little race car with our high school group, and we held some records. It was called the Green Hornet. And if you look on a Google search, Green Hornet MR2, you'll see the car. It's, you know, I still have it, but the battery pack is out of it right now, and I'm waiting to put a different battery pack into it. That's the one problem with the electric cars right now, the battery technology. To go from lead acid to lithium or any other new technology is just too expensive. But I think the electric vehicles and ultimately the production of electricity through other means, like tapping zero point, you know, that is just going to be, when that finally opens up and those gateways get cleared through and people start to understand that we live in a sea of energy, and we can use that sea of energy, just like thousands of years ago, people realized you can tap the wind. And we were traveling, you know, between continents with free energy, with the free energy of the wind. Once we understand that the universe is full of energy, it flows throughout the universe, we can, you know, travel to the stars using that free energy. So it's just a matter of as we grow technologically and as things open up, I think the next exciting thing we're going to see is an understanding of the zero-point source. And, of course, Tesla knew that over 100 years ago. I think technologically we're 100 years behind the times. If they had let Tesla really experiment and do the kinds of things, you know, and allow him to move forward. But, of course, like J.P. Morgan said, how can you put a meter on that? And that's where the whole problem came 100 years ago, is they want to meter us electricity when it's really, we live in a sea of energy. Why not just, it should be available to everybody. All you got to do is tap it.
Yeah.
So I my personal thing is I think the zero point, the quantum flux, Tesla tech, whatever you want to call it, that is going to be some really good stuff. And of course, you've been involved in witnessing some of this with Peter Sumaruk is one of them, and then you've got, I think, a company up in Canada, Vortex, is doing some good work. So, but again, you know, are they going to make it to the event? Yeah, they've been invited. So let's see if they make it. That's the thing. That, you know, you extend the invites, you put it out there, and of course, until they show, in my mind, they're vaporware. And of course, when they show and they put it on the table, at that point, if you put it in a public venue where people can pick it apart, you know, the skeptics can come and say, well, oh yeah, but you're doing this, you're doing that, you know, let the skeptics pick it apart. But when you convince a skeptic and they go away going, oh my gosh, this is something, then you've done something. And of course, the Wright brothers did it in 1903 when they launched their plane up in the air for, you know, like 11 seconds. But it changed the world. Look at what we're doing 100 years later. So I think we're in the beginning of some new energy changing technologies that I'm looking forward to. I think the next few years are going to be real exciting. I think you're at that same spot, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're right there on the cusp of a new era of an abundant source of energy being harnessed in a lot of different ways. And so it'll be fun to see as those things emerge. I'm curious, in your poking around, what would you say is the technology you've actually been able to see in operation that is kind of the furthest out there on the leading edge in terms of representing the next generation of clean technology?
I would love to be able to tell you I've seen something that just dropped my jaw, because I've had guys who came back from Sumaruk's demo tell me, you know, that it was the experience of a lifetime to witness some of the things they witnessed, you know, with his technology. I talked with Jean Manning. She said, yeah, she's witnessed some interesting circuits, you know, some demo projects, but nothing exceptional except for the ones that she can't talk about because there's non-disclosure agreements on it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm at the point where I've built personally a lot of things myself. Way back 30 years ago, I started building vapor carburetors. You know, we had the first fuel crunch, and I figured out, you know, if you could just vaporize that fuel and meter it in, you get better fuel economy. Well, I will tell you, simply vaporizing the fuel doesn't really give you better fuel economy, and it took me a long time and a lot of experimenting and a lot of headaches to figure out you got to crack that fuel as well, turn it into the carbon and hydrogen gases that and then it starts to run real efficiently. And there's a guy, his website is HIMAC.com, Bruce McBurney, and the HIMAC, HIMAC. And he understands, he's probably the best when it comes to vapor carburation of explaining how the principle works. So, and when I saw
the first he was one of the first people I reported on when I first kind of started writing stories a few years back.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Okay, well, Bruce really understands, you know, everything it took me 30 years to come to know what he understands. So that's kind of why I'm trying to open source this technology now and say, guys, why not share it? It shouldn't take 30 years to know something. I mean, you know, it should be shared because we only have so many years in a lifetime. Let's get this technology moving. So, you know, that's when I built, you know, I saw the Geet online. I said, my gosh, that's nothing more than a Pogue carburetor, but simple to build. So, you know, I've got one of those to demonstrate. That's neat technology, but Paul Pantone, I don't think he realized that it's a little difficult to put onto a car. You know, it's one thing on a stationary engine that's running at a constant RPM. So, you know, that there, I've had most of my luck with electric vehicles, building my own electric riding mower and electric boats and electric cars. There is something about an electric vehicle that is a pure joy to drive. When you're out and you're going across the water completely clean, completely quiet, whether you're riding an electric bike and there's no pollution, or driving in a car and being at like the McDonald's and the guy in front of you is belching fumes, and you know, all around you, they're just, you know, you're waiting in line and they're still wasting energy. And you're sitting in that electric car just, you know, wasting no energy. And then when you do go, there's no pollution. So that to me, you know, has always worked well in my life was the electric vehicles. And when I got into the hydrogen, I really liked the idea of the reduced emissions and the better fuel economy. But ultimately, you're falling back on the internal combustion engine. And
well, let's pick up on that when we come back from break. Let's talk more about the Geet and electric vehicles and more stuff to come.
For your organization or business to survive in these challenging times, you'll need cutting-edge information. The Keylight Company is a psychological business consultation firm. Keylight offers executive coaching, organizational development, seminars, ghostwriting services, and public speaking. Mention KFNX and receive a 20% discount. For business consultation, call the Keylight Company today, 323-935-5775. That's 323-935-5775.
Hi, this is Mike Fry. Join me and co-host Beth Nelson Sundays at 1 o'clock for Animal Wise Radio, where we celebrate animals and all of our connections to them. Did you know that you share the majority of your DNA with all of the other living things on the planet, including vegetables and insects? Do you want to learn how to make good product choices to improve your pet's health? Then tune in to Animal Wise Radio Sunday at 1 o'clock right here on KFNX.
Men and women, if you've got 10 to 30 pounds or more to lose, please listen carefully. Guys, many of us tend to overeat. We eat too much red meat, fast foods, and processed foods. This keeps the belly flabby and keeps our bodies overweight. Ladies, have you ever said, I feel fat today? Or do you have this bloated feeling? And how many of you have been trying to lose the same 10 to 20 pounds for years? There's a healthy and faster way to lose weight than any diet pill. It's called EverCleanse, a clinically proven weight loss and detox formula that helps you lose weight and get rid of the 5 to 25 pounds of waste that some experts say is trapped to the colon walls like spackle or paste. 2 weeks of EverCleanse may be equal to months of dieting. It's simple too. Natural, tasteless crystals that dissolve in any food or beverage. EverCleanse will flatten out your midsection, reduce love handles, and bellies and bloating have been disappearing in just days. You see, EverCleanse gets rid of the weight you can't take off by exercising or starving yourself on a diet. And it's not something you have to take for the rest of your life. Visit us at EverCleanse.com or call now to receive a very special offer.
Call 1-800-622-8492. That's 1-800-622-8492. Call now, 1-800-622-8492.
Free energy, now!
Joan Allen coming back at you. We're talking tonight on the Free Energy Now show with Larry Jarboe, of Jarboe's Mill, an alternative energy conference coming up May 30th and 31st in Maryland. We're going to be having a feature page at pezwiki.com about that, where you can get a little more information, get Larry's contact points, and learn more about who's going to be speaking and plan on going. It's a show-and-tell conference. Bring your own gizmo and put it on a table or open the hood and display it there for other people to see. Show and tell and share and see what shakes down. Larry, let's talk some more about the GEET and electric vehicles. That GEET is a really fascinating technology. Tell me a little bit about your experience with it in terms of the scope. How many devices have you seen? What do you think the ramifications are? When are we going to see something like that on a commercially viable scale?
I don't think, to be honest with you, the GEET you'll ever see on a standard automotive vehicle that's produced in Detroit or even around the world, so to speak. I know Dennis Lee was doing the PICC, which was supposed to be a GEET conversion. I mean, basically, he was claiming it was his own, but it was really a Paul Pantone GEET conversion of a car. And the problem with the GEET is, and the problem with vapor carburetors is, the fuels that we use today are not as simple as they were back in the 30s. In the 30s, you could spill fuel on the ground, at least what I'm told, and old-timers have told me, and it would just all evaporate. It wouldn't even leave a spot. And today's fuel is so full of additives that it doesn't vaporize at the same rates. So yeah, and this happened. They started adding additives from my research in about the mid-30s, about a year after Charles Nelson Pogue came out with his vapor carburetor, his cracking carburetor, the Pogue carburetor. And they didn't want that carburetor to work, so they started adding additives into the fuel. As a result, his carburetor gummed up and it had problems. And today, if you were to use a vapor carburetor, unless you had a real high temperature cracking system, you'd have a problem with it gumming up. So even a GEET, they have a tendency in the bubbler, if you're using a bubbler, to the heavier volatiles don't crack out as well, don't vaporize, and end up building up in the bubbler unless you use a very consistent fuel like Coleman fuel, naphtha gas, methanol, something like that that's pure. You end up having a buildup of fuel. Now, I've had guys tell me that they can go to the next level and plasma crack and all of that. I've yet to see it. I've experimented a lot with mine. And it runs just like a vapor carburetor. It's fun to demonstrate. You can pour water in the tank and it'll still run, but that's because the water is only adding moisture into the system, which is not a bad thing. I mean, that's not a problem. Water injection works, but it does build up if you put too much water in the tank, where you lose your volatiles and then it won't run. So, it's the Pantone. You know, design, I have to give them credit for coming up with something that people can replicate. You know, that's part of what we do as we're open sourcing and sharing stuff, is if we build something to say, oh, if you go here and buy it here and do this and put this with this, you can build one of these yourself. And it's like my riding mower I've got that's electric. And I love it because it's, you know, I can cut my grass. I only have about a half acre of grass. And all you got to do when you finish is plug it back in, and it's ready for the next grass cutting. No muss, no fuss, no pollution. Just works like a champ. And I just modified a regular riding mower with a special electric motor that you can get off the shelf if you call the Imperial Electric. It's a company, I think they're out in Ohio. And you just put your couplers in, you mount it, and all of a sudden you put your battery pack in. And you've got an electric riding mower. You know, I've had people tell me, well, you should be selling that. And I said, no, I just, well, show you how to build it, and you can build it. And, you know, if you want to contract me to buy, you know, to build one for you, fine. But to be honest with you, I've never had anybody contract, you know, want to do that. So I don't think there's a huge market at this point in time for electric riding mowers. Otherwise, there'd probably be a lot of electric riding mowers out there. So
now, you mentioned in the first segment about this zero-point energy quantum flux Tesla Tech demo. Could you give us a little bit of a teaser of what people might see as they go to the conference along those lines?
Okay. I just talked with a guy tonight, in fact. He's bringing in a Tesla hairpin circuit. And, you know, you've seen the Tesla coils, I'm sure, at some of the alternative energy shows. They're pretty neat. I mean, that Tesla coil is a pretty impressive device. But the Tesla hairpin is I don't know that anybody else has ever replicated one. And what it does, it picks off the energy off of the high voltage. It creates a high voltage, like a dead short, and then it picks the energy up from that and actually shows this cold electricity that is in addition to the high voltage that flows around the high voltage, and actually you can handle that electricity, and it does weird things, and the guy will demonstrate the weird things this cold electricity does. So that in itself gets you thinking, because it's kind of backwards from the way regular electricity works, and I'm not good enough with electricity. I mean, I can put together an electric car, but that's mostly mechanical and follow the schematic, because it's big wires and you just bolt them in and just follow the schematic. But as far as the theory of electricity, the guys who know that will be really impressed with the way this hairpin circuit works. So that's one thing. We've got another guy is going to bring in a circuit, and he also has developed the math that goes with it, and it says it's not impossible. The math shows the possibility where you put in one unit of electricity, say it's a watt, out comes a watt and a half on the other end. Now, anybody who's a scientist will tell you that's impossible. But he will demonstrate this as a possibility, as a working circuit. And what it does, it taps zero point to get the extra electricity that's all around us, the energy that's all around us, convert it into electricity and then use it within the circuit. And his purpose of doing that is not to create an over-unity motor, though I think over-unity is a term that we misuse, but a motor, you know, that would run off this zero-point energy. His main thing is to work with the electric company to lower the line losses, because as they lose electricity to EMF and everything else, you know, heat losses and stuff like that, he can be drawn back in, so at least they're getting the full amount of electricity that they should have in the line. Kind of a different way to approach things, but if at least it eases the transition to this technology. You know, one of the reasons they say that we won't see this, and it's been put on a black shelf, and you know, big companies have bought it up, is because basically it would disrupt the economy. Well, right now the economy is disrupted. The economy, I mean, look at Wall Street. It's way down. The economy is disrupted. Now's the time to bring the new energy technologies to light, because all of a sudden it doesn't become the problem. It's the cure. These new energy technologies now create a whole new wave of manufacturing, of affordable ways of doing business, you know, as far as energy saving. It's an exciting time for new energy technologies. They become the cure instead of the problem. So the solution, you know. So I think we're, like you said, we're right on the cusp of seeing some great stuff. These guys that I know of are going to demonstrate it. There's a invitation out to Sumeruk to come up, as well as some other folks. I hope they make it. That'd be great. You know, you can't force anybody to come, but the guys that I know that are going to come to do the demonstrations, at least they will have you leaving thinking, wow, it is possible. And just if we can conceive that it's possible, we can get it done.
Yeah, there's no doubt that there's a lot of great hope that's fueled in these things. One thing that I find, a little bit frustrating in it is some of the dead ends that you run into in chasing the rabbit down the hole, so to speak. You go after, follow a lead, and They put a lot of time into investigating and only find out that the inventor didn't do the math right, or he overlooked this or that, or didn't measure things correctly. Turns out it wasn't what he thought it was. And you spend so much time in that filtering process that's out there in the leading edge. That's where a lot of the time is spent, not actually spent on developing real technologies. It's finding the real technologies.
I agree with you, and I'm sure you've, in particular, because you traveled all over the world seeking out these new technologies, and so I know you've gone through a lot of frustration. And for me, I'm in a situation where over the years I've run a sawmill, and we've used a lot of different energy technologies in our mills, so I've done it hands-on, but never really tapped zero point or anything. Most of it's been renewable or things that just make sense energy-wise.
Well, Larry, I appreciate you coming on the show and talking about your upcoming conference and the one you had last year. Hope people can make it out to that, and wish you well on that.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net. And join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.
KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Cave Creek, Phoenix. A division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC.